The war, the one. Oh no, Estonian. ühtsuse poole. Armastuse, harmoonia ja ilutäiuslikkuse poole. Ainsa olendi poole. Ühendatud kõigi valgustunud hingedega, kes loovad meistrikehastuse, juhti ja vaimu. So whoever would like to say in their language, you could just take it from here.
Velik la
La
perfection
perfection d'amour,
d'amour, de
d'harmonie
poésie et
et
de
de
beauté,
beauté,
le
le
seul
seul
être
être uni
uni à
à
toutes
toutes les
les
âmes
âmes illuminées
illuminées
qui
qui
font
forment
corporation
l'incorporation
du
du messager,
messager,
l'esprit
l'esprit guide.
guide.
K jedinému, k dokonalosti lásky, harmonie a krásy, k jedinému bytí, spojenému se všemi osvícenými bytostmi, které tvoří vtělení mistra, ducha, jenž vede.
Toward the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. The only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the spirit of guidance.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So let's start this. Today is the sixth kind of sixth time we are together, reading and doing practices with the inner life through what has come through Hazrat Inayat Khan and then also through Murshid Sam. Thank you so much for being here. Can you hear me okay? Yeah. Okay. So I will start again with a little bit of reading and then we do practice in between. Ghataka. A person who leads the inner life is as innocent as a child. Even more innocent than a child. But at the same time, more wise than many clever people put together. This shows as a development in two contrary directions. Tasawwuf. Jesus has said, "Be ye wise as serpents and harmless as the doves." It is not only a dictum, it is what happens. When one has the bodhisattvic outlook, when one is as Walt Whitman, "In all men I see myself," there are certain things they cannot do. Not that they must not do or should not do, but actually they cannot do. And in the mystical states, if a person should be compelled to use power, it is a terrific power which is drawn from the depths of life. It can be very upsetting, coming, so to speak, from God directly. Nobody wants to be that way. One observes the evolution of all people and the eyes of the wise, though mostly very loving and gentle, are also the most penetrating. Gataka. The innocence of Jesus has been known throughout the ages. In his every movement, in his every action, he showed to be as a child. All the great saints and sages, the great ones who have liberated humanity, have been as innocent as children, and at the same time, wiser, much more so than the worldly wise. Tasawuf. There have been the passion plays in parts of the world where the life of Jesus is portrayed and the leading role is performed by a man made to look like Jesus and to act like him the best they can. But with the Sufis, there is the practice of tasawwur. If the tasawwur is on Jesus, the person begins to walk like Jesus and breathe like Jesus. As one walks and breathes, so one draws in from the divine sifat, which is the divine qualities, the qualities that manifested in Jesus, and often in the exact proportions. Then one becomes Christ-like, not in a poetic sense, or not in an oratorical sense, but actually. One may, during such periods, heal, will be unusually gracious, forgiving, or kind. All these qualities, emanations, are in the midst of the universe, in its heart, so to speak. And what is true concerning Jesus is also true concerning other prophets of God. They are not so far away as some may think, and their qualities and blessings are even closer. So let's take a little moment here and do a little bit of concentration. Concentration on Jesus, on Yeshua. So if you would like to just close your eyes and feel your breath in as balanced way as you are able to in this moment. And then focusing on our heart, we feel our heart totally clear. It's like we are entering into the baptism of Jesus. We are feeling total trust. Each breath we are being held, totally, totally held, cradled. You can almost, you know, you can visualize it as a divine mother or as a, you know, whatever works for you, but just this total trust and totally knowing that you are being held. There is nothing that you need to do. Just letting your heart be open. And feeling the souls of all beings. The souls of all in your heart. Just enjoy the clear space in your heart. No judgments, no concepts. It's like I am the vine and you are the branches thereof. Just feeling the souls of all, the soul of all. And just allow this simple being in the heart, totally open, accepting the divine. Just allowing that to fill your heart, your whole being. Feeling that simplicity, that innocence. And then letting go of that concentration, taking a few more breaths just naturally with whatever you're feeling right now. And may this practice kind of sow the seeds for us to find it when we need it in our life. Amen. So we continue with the reading. Kateka. And what makes it so? What gives these people this balance? It is repose with passiveness. When they stand before God, they stand with their heart as an empty cup. When they stand before God to learn, they unlearn all things that the world has taught them. When they stand before God, their ego, their self, their life is no more before them. They do not think of themselves in that moment with any desire to be fulfilled, with any motive to be accomplished, with any expression of their own, but as empty cups, that God may fill their being. that they may lose the false self. So let's take another moment and just breathe with that. There is no desire to be fulfilled, no motive to be accomplished, no expression of your own, just an empty cup that God may fill your being and you may lose your false self. Tasawuf. This is true in all stages of fana, or self-effacement. One has the effacement in the living teacher, which comes first, and may continue all through life. But now, as we confront universality, we may have the fana in Rama, Krishna, Shiva, Buddha, Abraham, Solomon, Zarathustra, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, and many other names and forms. These can become actualities. Prayer is only the first step. It is not an imagination. As one proceeds and does so, one imbibes and thus one can assimilate into the personality all the merits, blessings, faculties and glories of all the holy ones of God. This does not mean standing before an altar, and it does not preclude standing before an altar. Many ceremonies have been used, many rituals, and while they may be valuable in raising us momentarily above the denseness of the earth, if they alone sufficed, the inner life would be so accomplished, but it is not so accomplished. To stand before an altar is one thing. To stand as if in the presence of God is another. Kateka. Therefore, the same thing helps them in their everyday life to show a glimpse of the quiet moment of repose. They had with God. They show in their everyday life innocence and yet no ignorance. They know things and they do not know. They know if somebody is telling a lie, but do they accuse that person? Do they say, you are telling a lie? They are above it. Tasawuf. When one is a master in repose, one potentially becomes a master over action. The repose is needed. It may come several ways, and mostly these are called meditation. All the methods of repose still the ego, prevent self-expression as such. And then out of it comes faculties which are in the person, generally what are called kasv. That's insight. And when a person tries to lie before one with the kasv, the sage can tell from the expressions of the eyes, and he answers the eyes, and not necessarily the tongue or mind. And how does he answer the eyes? He answers the eyes with the eyes. And the strength and light of his eyes are more effective than any speech. So both Hasrat-i-Din Erkan and Murshid Sam here talk about the tasawwuri of masters, and then move on from there to discuss the practice of meditation, you know, which is what we do with all the practices that we do. We use the wazifas to let go of that grasp of ego on our being. So I'd like to do another practice now using two wazifas. We start with a one first, and then we bring in the other one a little bit later. And we start with Ya Kudus. Ya Kudus is the ever purifying one. It's the quality of creating sacred space and totally emptying ourselves from all the concepts, all the conceptions of the mind, all the things that make up our ego. We are leaving behind everything that is temporary, all the things that are not everlasting, and leaving behind our ego so that we can transcend and rise above it. So it's a constant purification. Purifying and purifying and more purifying our being from anything that is not totally, totally divine, totally pure, totally of the essence. So we'll do that for a little bit, and then we are gonna introduce the other wazifa. So what we are going to do first is feel your heart, just breathe into your heart, and imagine that your heart is like a very still lake, like the surface of a still lake. Now, any thoughts, any feelings, any expressions, any actions, they are like as if a stone is being thrown into that lake and it causes ripples so that the lake is not so smooth and reflective as it can be when it is totally still. So as we are going to intone Ya Kudus, just see these, any thoughts, any feelings, any expressions, any ripples that are on that surface of the lake, smoothing out so that the mirror, or so that the surface of the lake becomes like the mirror, totally clear and able to reflect. And any time you notice that there is some kind of impression coming, see it as it ripples out and then just disappears, and the surface of the lake becomes totally clear again. Ya kudus, ya kudus, ya kudus. Ya kudus, ya kudus. Ya kudus, ya kudus. Ya kudus, ya kudus. Ya kudus, and then we become a little bit more inner in our intoning until we just intone it in our mind, in our heart. Ya kudus. Ya kudus, kudus. And just continue inwardly. And then let go of the word and just breathe very gently, feeling the surface of the lake totally clear. Amen. Now we are going to bring in the other wazifa. And this one is Yajamia. Yajamia. And this, you know, like before, we have done the practices that are the opposites. So this one is again, this one is the opposite quality to Yakudus. So when Yakudus is this eternal purifier, then Yajamia is the gatherer of gems, you could say, the special gifts. So each part of ourselves is being brought together and integrated. So all the parts of our nafs are, you know, in the opposite way to Yakudus, they are being into the whole. They are being brought into the whole. It's kind of synthesizing, you know, bringing them all into wholeness together. And so let's do this one now a little bit on its own, bringing all the voices together, all the parts of our being together. And maybe also not only all the voices inside, but also you know, also outside of our being, outside of our what we perceive as outside of our being, you know, different things that happen in our community or different people who are in our community, who we interact or meet with. And we bring all of them. They are all part of us. You know, we can integrate all of them into our being. So we are gonna, this time we are gonna intone it into our belly. Feeling that inside our belly, this is like the meeting place for all these different voices, these different parts of ourselves, different parts of our ego. And we are totally integrating them. And, you know, just as they are, totally integrating, feeling them as part of the whole. So maybe if you like, you can put your hands on your belly, just underneath your navel. And then as we repeat Yajami, then you can just invite all the parts, all the things that that come, invite them all to that one table. Yajami. 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 If you like, you can also make the movements with your hands and, you know, kind of gathering into your belly. Yajami. 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 And then more internally, feeling it a little bit more internally. And then breathing with it. Letting go of the word and just breathing with a feeling. Amen. So I will read just a little bit more and then we finish that part. Kataka. They know all the plays of the world, and they look at them all passively. They rise above things of this world, which make no impression on them. They take people quite simply. Tasavvuf. First, it may be necessary to trust someone who has this ability, and the teachers of the world, the real teachers, prove that their eyes are the windows of the soul. They both penetrate and love and calm. And by this one finds a way for themselves that their prowess in Kashf grows. And then their sensitivity and penetration and thus their wisdom grows. Not mere words at all, but the actualities of functions. This was what Murshid Sam was talking about when he said that he was asked, how do you recognize, how do you know if some of your murids are, you know, awakened? How do you know? And Murshid Sam said that, I see the actual light shining out from their eyes or through their eyes. So that's what we're talking about here. Kataka. Some may think that they are ignorant in their worldly lives, that they take no notice of things that are of no importance. Activity with wisdom makes them more wise, because it is not everybody in this world who directs their every action with wisdom. There are many who never consult wisdom in their action. There are others who seek refuge under wisdom after their action. And very often, it is then too late. Tasawwuf. The Sufis practice fikr, zikr, darood, and then it becomes natural. When one practices the presence of God in any form, the wisdom becomes a servant. One may not know it. In effacement, one does not know in the same way as in the intellectual life. And therefore, attention is paid to insight and its development, which is most important for all people. So I'm going to finish the reading here, and maybe we do one more short practice. You are all familiar with this one. So we are going to breathe in toward the One, and we are going to breathe out, united with all. And in some ways, this is again working with these two polar opposites. One is, you know, we are going toward the One, and at the same time that we are pursuing the One, we are walking toward the One, we are kind of approaching the goal, at the same time we are already united with all. So it's kind of holding this paradox, these both of these in our heart, in our being, in our life. So Hazrat Inayat Khan, with just this first two lines of the, or you know, this first line, these two lines of the invocation, he just already kind of captured the whole path, you could say, that we are both going toward the One, and at the same time we are already in it and already united with all. So let's do that for just a minute or two to finish off today. Breathing in toward the One, breathing out, united with all. And then letting go of the words. And for a few moments, just allowing your breath to breathe in whatever way you feel comfortable. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. This concludes this part of our being together.